wife and I noticed this distinct smell in our home. And so we did what a lot of you probably do. We started checking the hot spots, right? We went to the dishwasher and the dishes and made sure those were clean. We went to the trash and we got that out and we took it out to the dumpster, and yet the smell still remained. And so then we did what probably a lot of you guys do. We just lit a candle. And we just sprayed some air freshener. We're just like, man, we just got to get rid of this. I don't know what it is, but we just got to mask it. And that didn't really help either. And so then we did what we often do as a family, and we just blamed our dog. Our dog, Lincoln, man, he just gets the brunt of a lot of blame at our house. I don't know if you can see him up there. He's a golden retriever. He's mid-drool at a dog park, people. Can you see that? And we blame him. Isn't that so mean of us? I mean, look at that sweet golden retriever. That's drool. That's drool, believe it or not. And so we like, well, let's wash Lincoln. Let's wash his bed. Let's make sure he isn't the problem. And we did all of that. And yet the odor was still there. Until the next day, my youngest daughter comes up to me holding a sack like this. And she's holding it kind of away from her face. And she's like, Dad, something really stinks in here. And to which I said, then why are you giving it to me? And she said, well, Dad, do something with this. And so I grabbed the bag and I could already smell like something was deplorable and maybe dead in here. And I just opened it up. It's not the same sack. Everybody calm down. Okay. It's not the same sack. And I just kind of peeked in. You know how you do? Like, I just kind of peeked in. I was like, oh my gosh. And to be honest, I kind of freaked out. And I just like threw it down and I was like, oh, that's terrible. What is that? And Jay was like, pick it up and take it to the dumpster. See, I turned in my man card a long time ago at our home, but I was just like, okay. And so I got it back up and I tied it back up and then I put it in the dumpster. You see, the story was that we have a golden retriever and sometimes he retrieves dead things and brings them back because he loves his family, right? And at one point, he brought something back that was dead. And we have a family of five, a lot of things going on. And we just, like, I put it in a sack, and I tied it up, and it was outside still, and I didn't take it all the way to the dumpster. And so he decided, Lincoln is such a nice dog, so bless his heart, he decided to bring that bag back in our house and put it in the corner. And that was the smell. So it was Lincoln's fault. If y'all felt sympathy for him, do not feel sympathy. No, just kidding. I love my dog, Lincoln. He's great. But why do I tell you that? I think it's because of this. We all feel a little uncomfortable with death. And it's so interesting to me, even as I say that word, some of you are like, Tim, Jesus is alive. It's Easter. What are you talking about death for? I think we feel a little uncomfortable with this. And it's interesting to me because out of all the differences in this room, and there are some differences in this room, the one thing that we have in common is that we all will die. Well, last time I checked, the mortality rate, 100%. And yet we don't like to talk about it. That's why some of us, we haven't put together a will. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand. But you're like, why haven't you put together a will? Well, it stresses me out. Think about death. Why are you so uncomfortable at funerals? Why do you just wanna leave and get to the potato salad? I can just be over with already. We check a sports score or something just to get our mind off death. I don't like it. And yet we'll all experience death. So we should probably know how to deal with death. So what we're going to do today, just for a few moments, is we're going to look at an experience with death that Jesus had in John chapter 11. And so you can grab a Bible and head there. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the row back in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, take that. We'd love you to have God's word for yourself. That's our gift to you. But John chapter 11, if you're new to the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the New Testament, John chapter 11. And it's around this profound statement, this one of seven I am statements from Jesus Christ. As he describes who he is and what he has done, he says this profound statement, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's around him dealing with death. So we're going to learn how Jesus deals with death and how we can deal with death. And if you like points ahead of time, I'm going to give them to you now. There's just two, and it's this. Jesus enters into grief, and Jesus triumphs over death. So that's where we're headed. The first thing, Jesus enters into grief. John 11, starting in verse 32, it says this. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, also have kept this man from dying? So to frame this up, there's more context here that you need to know. You have Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And this isn't just like a random encounter, a random family that Jesus interacts with. These are some of Jesus's dearest friends. But we know from other gospel accounts that Jesus spent time in their home. We know from earlier in chapter 11, twice, it says that he loved them. So these aren't just random people. These are close personal friends of Jesus. And yet Lazarus is sick and he's dying. So they send communication. Jesus is in another place doing ministry, and they send communication. Hey, Jesus, you got to come. You got to help. Like our brother Lazarus, your friend, the one you love, is sick, and it's not looking good. And it's really interesting. If you go back and read it, I would encourage you to do so. What it says is that it affirms Jesus loved them, but then it says he waited 2 days to go to them. Kind of bizarre. Now, we're going to get into, I think, why Jesus does that in just a few moments. But what you got to see is these two women, Mary and Martha, they're sad about their brother, but they're also frustrated with Jesus. Twice in the passage, both of them say this. Hey, Jesus, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. What they're saying is, Jesus, We know what you can do. We've seen you heal people worse off than our brother Lazarus. We've seen you do this. Why weren't you here? You could have done something. And they're sad, but they're also frustrated with Jesus. Have you ever been frustrated with God? Maybe some death in your life, and you feel like, oh, Jesus, you could have done something. I mean, we cried out to you. We prayed to you. We went to the hospital. We gathered with people in our home, and we saw the doctors, and we said, God, even do it through them or the medicine. Like, there was all these options, God, and you seemingly took not one of them. And now my spouse is dead, or my aunt is dead, or my child is dead, or my friend is dead. And it shouldn't have. Jesus, if you would have been here. I've read stories about you healing and heard stories about other situations where you healed, but in my situation, you seem to do nothing. Have you ever been frustrated with God? I have. Like in real time, right now, a member of our family is struggling, wrestling through an illness, and we don't know what it is. And we've done all the tests, and we've gone to all the doctors, and we've paid all the hospitals. And they don't know what it is. And there's some times where I'm sad about that, but just to be honest, can I be honest in church today? There's some times where I'm frustrated by that because we haven't just gone to the doctors and we haven't just run some tests. We have cried out to God, our Father, who I know loves this member of my family. He loves us. And God, why wouldn't you want to do something? You can do something. And it's frustrating. You ever been there? Some of you there right now, I know it's Easter. I know we're all dressed nice. I know we got an overpriced brunch to get to. But if we're just honest in church today, and maybe it's not like big death diagnosis and like difficulty like that. Maybe it's just like, I'm frustrated that like, it was a little difficult getting to church. It was raining in Phoenix. What's happening, God? And maybe sometimes you're like, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. Listen, here's, I believe, one of the greatest lies of the enemy, especially in the midst of our grief and our conflict and our pain. It's that no one understands. No one understands. And Jesus is here to tell you That is a lie. Where do I see that? Look at verse 33. Mary and Martha are frustrated with Jesus. Does he rebuke them? Look at the text. Does he say, how dare you, Martha? Does it say that? No. What does it say? Jesus sees Mary weeping and frustrated, and it says he's deeply moved and greatly troubled. Verse 35, it says he weeps with her. See, Hebrews 4 says we have a God who doesn't condemn in our weakness. He empathizes in our weakness. He gets down with you. And if you're weeping, he weeps. See, I think as you look a little bit closer in the text, what you'll see is, I mean, Jesus is weeping over his friend, right? It was his friend, Lazarus. He's weeping over that loss for sure. But what triggers his weeping is seeing Mary weeping, that he's grieving over grief, over her grief, over her pain. He doesn't rebuke her. He weeps with her. He does what Romans 12 commands you and I to do, to mourn with those who mourn, weep with those who weep. I think it's one of the most disobeyed commandments in all the Bible. And how many times have you, maybe not verbally, but quietly, you're like, hey, stop crying. Just get over it. What's the big deal? Scripture says we weep with those who weep, and Jesus models that perfectly. So how do we deal with death? We grieve, but we know that Jesus enters into our grief. Amen? He enters in. It's not scary for him. He does, oh, gross, that stinks. No, he comes close, and he weeps. And so if you're struggling today, I know it's Easter Sunday, and we're going to get to that, I promise you. But if you're struggling today, you need to know that we do this every Sunday, for one thing. And there's hope in this place amidst your struggle, amidst your grief, amidst your loss. No matter how small it is or how big it is, Jesus enters into it with you. Amen? That's how he deals with it. But the news gets better. Jesus doesn't just have the empathy to enter into grief. He has the authority to triumph over death. This is good news. Y'all ready? Okay, let's read it together. That's our second point. Jesus triumphs over death. Verse 38, it continues. Then Jesus, he's deeply moved again, and he comes to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, this is powerful, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, come out. Amen. Amen. The man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Praise God. Verse 38, you see, Jesus, he's moved again. This time not to weep, but to triumph, to have victory. He literally, we say love moves here all the time. He moves. He has not just empathy at this point. He has compassion, which involves action. And he moves and he goes to the stone. And notice, they say, Jesus, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. I mean, Lazarus, he's been dead for 4 days. Remember when Jesus waited a couple days? See, what's so amazing about Jesus is he knew. He's the Son of God, all-knowing. He knew how many days it had been. And so what are they trying to communicate? Well, just that his body stinks? Well, I think Jesus would have known that. I think we all know that. After 4 days, a body decomposes. It starts to smell. There's an odor. But you got to realize this is a different tradition. This is a different custom. The Jewish custom, they often thought that when somebody died, for 3 days, the soul was still hovering over the body, and there was still a chance for life. But now it's been 4 days. It's too far gone, Jesus. I love in the King James Version, not right now, but later on, go look it up. It says in the King James Version, by this time he stinketh. I promise you, that's what it says. Go look it up. The Bible's great. You should read it. And they're trying to show us, hey, this is too far gone. Life is gone. Hope is gone. Power is gone. And so we have to remember, what did Jesus say earlier? What's the title of the sermon? I am the resurrection and the life. See, a little bit earlier, he told Martha that. And it's really interesting. Really, Jesus is really intentional, picks his words carefully. I am the resurrection and the life. Not I'm going to resurrect Lazarus. Not I'm going to resurrect myself on the third day after I die. Jesus is saying, this is not something I'm going to do. This is something I am. That in his very person, his character, his nature, Jesus Christ is resurrection and life. That's who he is. And so nothing is too far gone for Jesus, amen? This is good news for us today. Nothing is too far gone. It is never too late, not for the resurrection and the life. So Jesus says, hey, I know. I know how long it's been. I know the smell. I know it stinketh. Roll that stone away. Come forth. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Roll the stone away. And listen, I think as many of us, as we read this, we look at this and we're like, yeah, Jesus, the resurrection of life, like he could do that for Lazarus, but I'm not sure he could do that for me. That if some of us were honest this morning, we're kind of like Martha. And we're saying, I stinketh. And Jesus, you don't want to come in here. I mean, I've done some things and I've seen some things and some things have been done to me. And I put on my Sunday best today and I look good on the outside, smile on it. But like inside, there's some things in me, Jesus. Like I have some insecurities. I have some doubt. I have some religious pride even. I have some death inside of me. Like my joy, like since 2020, like it's just kind of faded. It's like dying. My hope and my purpose is kind of dying in here. And Jesus, you don't want to come in here. It's too far gone. I've tried to fix it. I've gone to counseling. I've come to church. I've done different things. Like I've had a new workout routine and I've even read some of the Bible, but like it's too far gone, Jesus. You don't want to come in here. And I love this. Jesus is telling you, just like he told them, roll the stone away. Come forth. I know how long it's been. I know how bad it is. I know how dark it is. I know how dead it is, but I am the resurrection and the life. And so come forth, roll the stone away. Listen, we have this thing in like Christianity where we come to special services and maybe we come even every Sunday and we sing songs about things from scripture and God's word. And we sing songs about the gospel and we pray together about the gospel and we read scripture about the gospel. And maybe we even tell somebody else about the gospel that Jesus lived and he died and he resurrected and he one day is going to return and he's going to wipe away every tear and there's going to be no more death and we're going to live in glory forevermore. And while we say all of that, sometimes we don't believe all of that for ourselves right now. See, one day, Revelation 21 says he won't have to enter into grief. Amen. Because there will be none. Amen. There will be no tears. He will wipe every single one of them away. Like the cancer diagnosis, it won't exist. I don't think diagnosis is going to be in the language of heaven. Amen? Amen? Like the death, that's for sure not going to be something we speak in heaven. It's all going to be wiped away. It's all going to be wiped away one day. And so we're like, Tim, I believe that one day. But what about today? What about your brokenness inside you today that seems too far gone? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life for today? Not just one day? Do you believe it? Not just sing about it? Not just recite some verses? Do you believe it in your heart on this Easter Sunday before you go hunt some eggs? This is the most important decision of all of your eternity. It's not just another Easter service. This is an opportunity to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No matter what circumstances you're experiencing, no matter what's inside you and how dark and how dead it seems, he can bring it to life. He can say to you, roll the stone away, come forth. Yeah. Yeah. Some of y'all believe that. All right. Okay. That's great. Yeah. That's great. If you don't believe that, man, we're so glad that you are here. All you have to do is simply believe it. You're like, Tim, do I need to like check some boxes? Fill a Connect card? I got to give all my money away to the poor, I guess. Like, I'll do it. I'll come back next Easter. Once I've done all those things. And Jesus is saying, no, I am the resurrection and the life. Not you. He is. You put your trust in him. You be in Christ, in him. How do you do that? You simply believe. How do I know? Earlier in the chapter, Jesus is talking to Martha and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he says really simply to her, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And he's not just asking Martha back in the day. He's asking you and I today, do you believe this? Listen, I want to give you an opportunity to believe it right now. Would you just bow your heads with me? If you just were honest today, it's a good place to be honest in church and to say like, hey man, I've done a lot of good things and I've tried to clean my act up and I'm in church today, but I don't know if I've ever believed what you're talking about, Tim. I don't know if I've ever believed that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, not just one day, but today. I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. You can just repeat this after me. The words aren't magical, but this is a way to believe in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Pray this with me. Jesus, I believe you died for my sin and rose again. Jesus, I give you my sin. I give you my life. I give you my death. Jesus, help me to follow you all the days of my life. Just tell him, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for new life in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just keep your heads bowed? If you just pray that, keep your heads bowed. We just lift your hand right where you are. I just want to pray for you today. Just lift your hand. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you and keep your hand up as I pray over you. Father in heaven, I thank you for these men and women across this room who are lifting their hands right now, who have the courage just to say, Jesus, I believe in you. I receive new life in you. I give you my darkest parts and my dead parts and that they can know. God, I pray that they would know supernaturally right now that they're not too far gone, that you are the resurrection and the life. And today they are forever changed in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that you would help them to follow you. And in just a moment, I pray that they would come down front. If I know it's scary, but God, you're a God of grace. You're a God of love. And that's what this whole place is. This is what these people are. This is a room full of grace. And I just pray that they would have the courage to come, to not do this life alone, to let us help them follow Jesus and love Jesus and live like him and lead others to Jesus. God, we thank you for new life in Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen.